The moon rolled up the sky, getting smaller but more intense. The volcanoes away up to the south emitted a loud fart or two. Their hearts weren't in it. The celebration broke up into smaller gatherings. Ryan, JB, and Jack were hanging out by the Hummer with Five Axe and a couple of his Jaguar night buddies. They'd made their own fire out of dried cow chips and grass. There wasn't a lot of wood to be found in the valley. Trees weren't common. It was kind of a small pallid fire, but that suited a more intimate, wound-down kind of gathering. It didn't smell bad, which might have surprised Ryan if he hadn't encountered the primary fuel source before. The key was getting properly cured cow crap, which mostly meant dry. JB was laid out under the wag, snoring like a dirt bike with an out-of-tune engine. His lack of consciousness owed far more to post-combat exhaustion than alcoholic intake, Ryan felt sure. Jack squatted on his haunches on the far side of the fire. His eyes glittered like rubies with reflected flame light. Ryan had made himself relax about the youth, although he was still keeping an eye on him. Jack and alcohol could sometimes be a volatile mixture. There was another potential worry. Some of the people from the Valleyvilles, especially the ones burned out by the Chichimecs, had come around the battlefield to gloat over the dead bodies of their tormentors. They had plenty to gloat over. Don Tenorio estimated, on the basis of reports from his people who'd scouted the field after the action, that there were over 2,000 dead invaders strewn across the green grass and black lava. Don Hector, who had been in full manic glory after the battle, had been strutting around making far higher claims. Even if the Valley Cacique hadn't been a few rounds short of a full mag, Ryan would have credited the city alcalde over him, where it came to counting. The defenders hadn't exactly escaped unscathed. The scabbies had lost a total of 31 dead, and a couple more than that wounded. The Valley Army, almost half its strength, well upward of 200 dead, wounded, or gone on what Doc termed French leave. For the city force, it was a big bite of their total strength as it was. But in lasting terms, it would gouge a disproportionately huge cavity out of the small, tight-knit scavenger community. The victors celebrated this night with single-minded purpose, in part because they knew tomorrow the serious grieving would begin. The Valleyville folk and refugees had other ideas in mind as well. They wanted to express their appreciation to the victors who had laid such a powerful hurt on the brutal invaders from the great Chichimeca. They brought presents of food and drink. Ryan got the impression their cacique didn't allow them much by way of personal possessions. Some of the female ones, especially on the younger side, had more personal expressions of gratitude on their minds. Five Axe and his pals had all been off for a couple of trips into the darkness this evening. On the basis that people find what's really different from themselves exotic and attractive, the paper-pale Jack Lauren, with his long white hair and red eyes, was as big a hit with the ladies of the valley as he had been in the city. He'd come in for his share of attention, and more than his share. Ryan didn't begrudge the youth the R&R. What gnawed at his vitals was the fact that there might still be vengeance-minded Chichimec stragglers lurking out there in the night, and the still unresolved question of whether, or maybe when, Don Hector might turn on his allies and their friends from El Norte. Still, the albino youth had been looking out for himself for longer than he'd been under Ryan's watchful eye. And he had the outlook and skinned fine senses of a once-ambushed alley cat. He'd be fine or he wouldn't. Which were the same rules Ryan and everybody else on Earth lived by, each and every day, after all.
Shit, I'm getting all philosophical. I need to leave that nuke shit to Doc.
Out in the night, a coyote howled. A chorus of voices answered. The coyotes followed the Chichimecs as religiously as if they believed in the Holy Child themselves, so Five Axe had told him. Even though they were cannies, the invaders left a wake of bodies wherever they marched, and the wolf dogs ate like kings. Well, they were eating like the Baron of all Barons this night. The scabbies had policed up their own dead, but most of the Chichimecs, and as far as Ryan knew, Hector's casualties, lay where they fell. But Ryan wasn't wasting mind time envisioning red-muzzled coyotes rooting in the bellies of what had that morning been living men. He had drunk with the others, pulque and some much more palatable stuff the scabbies had brought along with their stores wags, just in case. He had become relaxed. He had reached a point where he wasn't worrying about whom he'd dropped the hammer on that day, or how close he and his had come to the red-roaring edge. He was just warm and comfortable, and even leaning against the big knobbly tire of the WAG felt fine. Five-Axe was talking to his buddies, who seemed to be heading off for the main Scavvy encampment.
Welcome to bunk here if you like, Five-Axe. Plenty of room.
But the bandy-legged little Jaguar Knight was definitely the worse for wear.
Damn, that means I'm gonna have to rouse my dead ass and take first watch.
He wished he'd chosen to head back into the city with Doc, Don Tenorio, and the wounded. He wasn't even sure now why he hadn't. Something, maybe, about feeling responsible for the Scavvy Field Force. They deserved somebody to look after them.
No, that's not right.
Had he spoken aloud? The Scavvies could take care of themselves. But Don Tenorio's place this night was back in his city. Ryan's place this night had been out here with the army he'd helped win a desperate victory, even if it meant a night separated from Christy. He wondered how she was, but he wouldn't call. Mildred would either be asleep or busy treating the wounded. And she would have called him as promised had there been anything to report, good or bad. He trusted her for that. Something seemed to flicker in Ryan's vision. Dark liquid gushed from the region of Five-Axe's chin and splashed hissing and reeking into the fire, half-dousing it.
Are you vomiting, Five-Axe? What the hell are you...
Ryan suddenly saw brown arms tangling Jack, who too late came alive with whirling fury. It wasn't vomit putting out the fire. It was blood from a slit throat. All at once, the dark and Ryan's peripheral vision were alive with flitting, shadowed menace. He grabbed for his six-hour, sprang to his feet. As he did, something was descending hard and fast for his face. Firelight danced dimly on thin blades of obsidian, sharp as fate. A blow, a flare of agony in his head, a blinding white flash of light. Then falling into dark.